I was reading in the book of Ezekiel, and after chapter after chapter after chapter, it just talks about the word of the Lord came to. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to the prophet. The word of the Lord came to. And I've just been mulling it over, over the recent days. What is the word of God that you personally are running with at this moment in time? Now, you may have a long-term vision for your life, that you're going to go to Australia or to Timbuktu or Madagascar and go on to the mission field. Or it may be that God's just said other things to you about London, coming and planting yourself here in London and seeing this as a mission field for your life. And, you know, there are so many things that God could be saying to each and every one of us. But we need to be running with the word of the Lord, because the children of Israel at that time, back in Ezekiel's day, they were dependent, and the kings of those times were dependent on the prophetic word coming to restore something back to the children of Israel, because the God was sending the prophet to the children of Israel to try and bring them back. And again, the word restore was used many a time to restore them back to the place where they're meant to be. And along with the word of the Lord, and I really believe God is wanting to say something to each one of you about that he wants, not just because it's going to be a New Year's resolution in 3-4 weeks, because again, so many people make a New Year's resolution and within 12 hours, it's gone. And I'm just talking about the word of the Lord for you. And it may not be, you know, something so huge. It may be just, for me, one of the things that God wants to continually say, and it's coming out in the message today, is I want you to be an example of my goodness. It's something so simple, but for me, it's the word of the Lord. I want you to be an example of my goodness. Now, for me, I've got to live out that in the way that God shows me, reveals to me. And if God speaks something to you, each one of you, then that's what you need to live your life by. But do you have a word? Do you have a word that you're running with? And it may be just love others as I love you. It may be as simple as that, but you're running with it. And because you know God's spoken, it's something you can hold on to. And therefore, your view of every situation you're coming to is, I've got to love this person in front of me. What's the word of God that you want me to give to this person? How can I be an example in your kingdom into this situation or circumstance? So if you've got a jotter, what is the word of the Lord you're running with? And I trust that over this next couple of days, you will be able to write either one or two or even 3 points of the things that God is wanting to say to you about what you personally need to be running with. There's two scriptures that God's just not allowed me to go anywhere with at the moment. One is in Matthew chapter 23. And for those who are learned, Matthew 23 is where Jesus talks to the Pharisees and the scribes about hypocrisy. Now, that's a word that God has brought back to me. Now, I want to let you know that everything that Helena, I, and I trust that anybody else who we allow to use and to teach you, we're not saying we're perfect. I'm nearly am. No. We're not perfect. But everything that we say from this place, from talking to you or talking to in whatever area of ministry that we are called into, We are intending to live what we're speaking. Okay. But let's quickly just turn to Matthew 23, because there's just something here very, very quickly that I want to show you. Because I actually want to get to the end of this message, because I see Alan has brought another cake in. And I want to be first to get to... No. But no, in Matthew 23, it says, "Then Jesus said to the crowd and to his disciples, 'The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat,'" so the place of authority. "'So you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach.'" Wow. That's one of the scriptures, and it goes on to a number of different things that the Pharisees were doing that Jesus said, "You are hypocritical there. You're not living your life in the way that, you know, you're saying one thing and you're doing something different." I want my life to count for something. I believe that God has called me and called each one of you for your life to count. You've been called and chosen, not by just some random person, but you've been called and chosen by God for such a time as this. You've been called to be an influencer in the areas of your life that I can't get into, because in your world, I'm not there. You are. God's called you to be in your world, not me. God wants you to be influences in your world, not me. But one of the things God does want in your world is that your words and your actions line up, and that you're not saying one thing and then your lifestyle is something completely different. That's the same for me. That's the same for each and every one of us. But again, this is something that Jesus said. In my Bible, it's in red, so that's important. But you know, we've got to live out our relationship with God. And I'm a person who loves to encounter God. I love being in my room, just me and the Lord. I close the door and I put a little bit of worship on. And I love doing that. I can do that for hours. And I have done over the last couple of days. Why? Because that's something I love to do. I long to be in God's presence. But I know that I cannot just stay in that place. I've got to be real in the world of that God's put me in. And I'm, you know, not perfect in that. And there's a long way that I need to go so that my words and my actions line up. But I don't want to live a life that God, when I get to glory, he sort of says, You've said certain things there, but your life and your actions didn't line up with that. And so therefore, there's a bit of hypocrisy in the way that you say you love people, but actually, when you had the chance to love that person or that other person, you didn't reveal your life to them. Now, if you've been following the Bible reading plan, we've been recently in the book of James. And James is a very challenging book if you really look at the real words. It's the same as 1 John is really a very interesting book as well, because it is just so much full of you say one thing and you do something different, then guys, that's not right. You've got to live the life that God wants you to live here and there. It's absolutely right. But what God wants us to do is to live a life that God wants us to live in every area of society. Now, I've been challenged recently about a number of different things in the press. In Sweden this week, I don't know if you saw in Sweden, that there was an article where they weren't allowed to call God a he. They had to describe God as an it. Not a he or she. That was one of the things that, because of this transgender that was taking, you know, that thing. So in Sweden, that's what they're trying to bring in to the church. And Obviously, in the Bible, as we read the Bible from Genesis right through to Revelation, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, what you get is God as a he at times, and, you know, sometimes wisdom is described as a she. But, you know, one of the things that we have to understand is that this is the world that we're actually living in at this moment in time, but it's making sure that each of the steps that we make are radiating what God says and does. There's another article today, over the last couple of days, that I read regarding, and please, I'm not a brownie or a girl guide, but in the brownies and the girl guides, again, they are basically saying that if somebody wants to be a he or a she, or anywhere in between those two points of compass, then they're allowed to be. Which means that on a girls' guide camp, if a boy wants to come into that that world of brownie scouts, they are able to. And that then means that they can go and share a tent together, a boy and a girl, because if the boy wants to be a girl. And it's a real mixture and a real confusion that is coming into our world. Now, we need to know what the Word of God says about these things. You know, it's happening out there, and it's happening very rapidly. The change in our society over the last 2, 3, 4 years has changed rapidly. But we need to know what God is saying about these things. And I've been challenged about this too. Because for me, I come from a real world where the Bible is black and white, that it's there's right or wrong. And partly I still believe that. But you see, for me, one of the things that God says, I want my life to be an example. One of the things that in Matthew 23, we go back to this scripture. One of the things that the Pharisees were doing was they were pushing people away because of their religious doctrine. Because their religiosity was pushing people away from coming into that relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe this Bible right through from cover to cover. And please, I'm not telling us to compromise whatsoever. But I am saying, do we need to have a language where we are an accepting bunch of people in a way? And please, I'm pointing to myself here. Because I've been brought up very black and white. I've been brought up in the church and in a strong denominational church where there is a right or wrong in these sort of situations. Now, I believe that God's calling me to be an example of his life. And for me, when I look at the life of Jesus, one of the things that I see was that the prostitute, the guys who were embezzling other people from a financial point of view, the tax collectors in those days, Jesus did not push them away, but he accepted them. And then his life impacted their life, Mary Magdalene. There's a film coming out about her life. I believe it's coming out soon. But, you know, Mary Magdalene, you know, she from the Bible point of view, she was a prostitute. She was a woman who came and gave her life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and she was the one who wept at his feet and cleaned Jesus' feet with her hair. Why? Because God brought salvation into her life. God brought the love of Jesus into her life. He didn't condemn that person. I've got a book on my shelf, and it's a title called They Love Jesus But Not the Church. And this is not just people who have a different sexual orientation to us or a different philosophy of life. It's just different people from different religions or people who sometimes when they come across a Christian, all they get is, we're right, you're wrong. You're right, we're right, you've got to do everything we're telling you to do. And please, I believe this, okay? I'm not telling you that I don't believe this. I do. I believe this book. I believe the Bible from cover to cover. I believe what it says about life. I believe what it says about marriage. But also I'm saying that there is a language that we need to be using so that my example in the world that we live in is one of love and not one that is pushing people away. And this is a challenge to me. This is a huge challenge to me. And my girls can tell you, and Helena can tell you, this is a huge challenge to me because of the way I was personally brought up. I'm not compromising the gospel, okay? And I really want to reemphasize that. But I want my life to matter. I don't want to push people away because of my tradition. And one of the things that you read in Matthew chapter 23 is the tradition of the elders. Jesus criticized, he really had a go at the hypocrisy of you say that you love, but you don't actually act out that love in a real and practical way. You know, this whole thing about living in one way in the clouds and then living a completely different way on earth. I heard something recently of somebody just saying that their religion, there's Christianity, and this is a friend of mine told me, and this was on Thursday, and saying that there's a church that I know, and in a situation, they have a time with the Lord on early in the morning. They read the Bible, they pray. But as soon as they go out the door, in their minds, they say they leave God in the house. They live the life until they come back at home at night and take up the Bible again. And in between time, they don't invite God into that space. For me, that's not what I believe the Bible's saying. My life needs to matter. Every part of my life needs to matter. Not just what happens on a Sunday, but what happens every moment of every single day. Our lives count for something. We have meaning. We have purpose. And that purpose is to make Jesus Christ known, because Jesus Christ is the only way. Jesus Christ. And these are things I do believe. And I'm not saying we don't say these things, but we've got to have a language that is accepting and engaging. Because I believe that our testimony of what Jesus Christ has done in our lives is still so powerful today as it ever has been. As we read in Scripture, in Revelation, it talks about the word of your testimony. What Jesus Christ has done in your life is so, so important. But it doesn't mean that you can't be accepting of other people. And again, it's not just so that we can tick a box sort of saying, Lord, I saw somebody saved today. I saw somebody give their life to Jesus today. All that's fantastic. But it's actually genuinely because we love somebody. We actually genuinely want to love that person that God at that moment in time has put in front of us. Yeah. Ruth, as she goes out to feed the homeless on a Saturday, and I know several other people have joined her doing those things. Again, it's the person in front of you is the person you love. Now, that person may have a different religion. It person may have, it may be atheist, they may not believe in God. They may have a different sexual orientation to us. They obviously come into real severe problems in their life. That's why they're living on the street. But God wants us to love that person no matter what their history, what their background, or what their current situation is. And I don't want us to be hypocritical like that Jesus talked to the Pharisees and the scribes because we're saying we put a label on you. I've repented of this, but I had a real issue at one point with people who, like me, minister at the front, and they had tattoos, not nice tattoos, but tattoos all down their arm. And I had a problem with that. I did. I had a problem with that. I sort of said, oh, you've got to cover up. I've gone to the Lord and said, I'm so sorry. I've judged that person. I've been critical of that person purely because they have tattoos. And I disqualified them from being able to minister the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ purely because of tattoos. you know, I'm not saying that there's things in the scriptures that you've got to be careful because you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Scriptures say. And therefore, we have to be careful how we use our body. And I still believe that wholeheartedly. I believe what we take in, what we eat, what we digest, how much we drink or not drink, all of those things are important for us because we are temples of the Holy Spirit. However, you know, for me to criticize or judge somebody, God had to come and say, son, that's wrong. That's wrong. Because you have labeled that person purely because something of your tradition that has actually disqualified that person. And again, I'm just saying these things because I want you to understand, I don't want to be hypocritical. I don't want to live a standard in this world here that we are in a church setting that is not exactly the how I live out there in the world. I want people, if they see me on the street, if they see me in a coffee shop, they come and have a meal at our house or whatever, I want them to see the same person there as then here, where I'm speaking exactly the same way, I'm talking the same way, I'm behaving the same way. Because behavior is so, so important. But I need to understand, one, that I belong to something far greater than myself. And that belonging is to Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ is the one that I'm therefore to be an example for. I'm to radiate his life in every area of my life. So I need to reflect his love. I need to reflect his passion for God. You know, one of the things that Jesus did was that he had busy schedules. He had people around him all day. He had busy schedules. But one of the things that he constantly did was he went to have time with the Father because for him that was so, so important to get his daily instructions so that actually he could then cope with the rest of the day. But that rest of the day, he was always engaging with the Father constantly. Now, that's the example he set me. Now, that's an example I want to live and therefore then set others to live by. It's because I don't want to be hypocritical. And there's a lot of people out there who see the church as being hypocritical. There is. You speak to a lot of people out there. Jesus, they can do it. They understand Jesus. Yeah, Jesus, he was a guy. Some people don't believe he was the Son of God like we do, but they are okay with Jesus. If they're atheists or whatever, they sort of say, we don't agree with you, but it's not an issue. But the church, a lot of people have problems with the church out there. Sometimes it's because of the history of the church that they've been brought up in, the denominational church they come up with. That it's lifeless in many ways, and I certainly don't want that here. I don't actually want that in any church. I don't want anybody to be sitting in a church that is dead. I want it to be very much alive. And one of the things that God has been saying very, very clearly to me is that God wants the power to be restored to his church. You know, when you read the Acts of the Apostles, when the Holy Spirit came upon people, there was power happening. There's life. It was life-giving. And I believe that over this coming year, we're going to see a lot more power, not from me or Helena, but from all of us engaging with God, and then he comes amongst us in power through his Holy Spirit. I believe today that there's, you know, there's healing. I want to see so much more healing. Mikey's not very well today. We want to see, in the name of Jesus, this thing broken off his life. Because it's been going on too long, this illness. We want to see it broken in Jesus' name. But that's God's power at work that we need to see happening. Joe's dad, we need to see his, you know, complete healing there. And we want to speak these words, not because we're just picking them out of the air, but because we're seeing what God says in the Bible, and we're saying, yes, we want that. We want that power, the same power that was working in Jesus' life, because the Holy Spirit's in us, we can see that same power today. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, not fortune telling. Not fortune telling, but the word of the Lord into the situation. And that's why each and every one of us needs to have our own current word from God. Because we believe in a God that is very, very much alive. There's many religions out there who are worshipping something that's already dead or passed away. But we believe Jesus Christ rose from the grave and therefore is very, very much alive. And we believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit at work very much today in exactly the same way as we read in the book of Acts. But you see, for me, to see that power of God at work in you and me, I need to, maybe you're all perfect, and I'm just talking to myself today, but I don't want to be hypocritical. And if there's any areas of my life that there is hypocrisy, I'm asking God, come show me that hypocrisy. Because I don't want anybody out there to see something that I say and how I live differently. And I don't want to judge anybody else for their lifestyles either. Now, I can read scripture. And I'm going to read a scripture in another part of scripture that I can't get away with at this moment, because I believe it's very much a prophetic word to the church in this nation. And I've only got a couple of more minutes, so I'm going to read it now. Revelation chapter 3. And some of you have heard me say this before, but it's just, for me, so, so important that we get hold of these things. Now, in the book of Revelation, John has a vision. And that vision, it was a vision and dream. Dream is just something that comes to you, and that's great. A vision is like you're part of it. And John, it was like he was part of this vision. He saw it in it happening. It wasn't a distance away. He was part of it. And John had these, he was told about these churches, and there were seven letters to the churches in those days. And for me, all of them are important. All of them are important. And actually, there was a sequence of events throughout these seven churches that these letters were written to. You know, the first one is quite interesting. And, you know, in Revelation, at the beginning, we talk in Revelation 2. You have forsaken your first love. That's what happens in the first church. That first love is forsaken. That time where you knew God in that fantastic way, when you first gave your life to Jesus Christ, when you first said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but Lord, you've saved me through Jesus Christ. There is, over time, we can get a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Weary. We can get tired. We can see things quite normal, and we become complacent. That's a good word, complacent. We become complacent about things of God. And it sometimes happens over a period of time. It's a gradual thing. But suddenly it's like, Lord, I don't feel as close to you as I once did. And it's the beginnings of things. And then you go to in the church in Smyrna, and it talks about, you know, a little bit of persecution coming your way, you know. And then you go to the Pergamum church. And again, this is another thing that begins to happen, is that within the church of Pergamum, what took place was there was teaching that started to creep into the church, that actually then John, through this vision, said, guys, you're getting this wrong. You're beginning to listen to a wrong voice. You're listening to something else that is not my gospel message. And I believe that's very much today what is happening in our church, the church. in this country is that we're beginning to listen to other messages, which is actually not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It's another form of gospel. And in the Pergamum church, it was Balaam they were listening to, a false prophet. They were listening to the Nicolaitans, which was a sect within the church that was taking away from the true gospel message. And I believe that that's what's happening in our church today, that we need to come against in the name of Jesus, but also we need to make sure that we're not hypocritical either to anything or judgmental in any way, because we're living to the standards of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then you've got the fire of Tyre, which talks about the Jezebel spirit coming in to the church. And then here in the church of Sardis, it says this. It says, these are the words of him who hold the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come. And obviously there's a parable, there's a story in the New Testament about the virgins as well, haven't there? Five virgins were wise, five virgins were foolish. When the bride, they were waiting for the bride to come and he was a bit late. And so they were ready with the oil lamps. Five were wise and they had plenty to spare. Five were coming on to empty. And when the bridegroom, they heard about the bridegroom coming, they quickly ran around to find a little bit more oil, but they couldn't find any and they were too late. They couldn't get into that marriage service. Now, obviously, that can be a picture of many things, but also towards the end of the time where, you know, many people think that they are okay, but actually the Bible says that there is going to be a time where Jesus will come again. And for those who are ready, waiting for Jesus Christ's return, he will take them to a place where he and we will remain forever. There is another group of people who are going to be rushing around and they're going to be, in quotes, too late. And that's why we need to have a message that is so true to the gospel of the love of Jesus Christ, but actually the need to repent as well. And repentance is something that's gone out of the church as well. And that's why, for me, the prophetic word for the church in this nation, not just in London, but in this nation, I'm saying, church, we need to wake up. And I'm not just talking about us here. I'm talking to the church in this country. And, you know, I'm declaring it out there. Because I believe we need to wake up. Because why? What does it say? Your deeds remain unfinished. I believe that for us as the church in this country and for the church in London, this church and many other churches, there is a deed unfinished. What's that deed unfinished? That is for the church to be God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That we, as God's children, reflect God's glory, and therefore we see God's power at work in our lives, your life, my life, and together we see God's kingdom purpose here in this city, in this nation. I'm speaking this over the whole church in this country at this moment in time, because I believe this is the truth. That we need to wake up to the reality that God wants his kingdom to come on earth. I'm a son of God. You are a son of God. If you accept Jesus Christ into your life, he has adopted you into his family. It was a choice that he made to accept you as one of his kids. That's an amazing privilege. But with that amazing privilege, it comes an amazing responsibility. We have a kingdom. We have a king. We have a heavenly father. And we're representative of that kingdom here on earth. That's why the church, you and me that are part of the church, need to be people who are not hypocritical, who live the life of the gospel of Jesus Christ, being the example that he set for us, reading the word of God from Genesis through to Revelation, and saying, God, how do you want me to respond in this situation? Because, Lord, there are deeds unfinished that you are wanting us, you and me, to complete here in the 21st century. We're not just talking about a church 2,000 years ago that was full of action and power. We're talking about a church in the 21st century, in December 2017, going into January 2018. We need to see a church that is understanding that there is unfinished business. There's an unfinished work that each one of us has to complete. And that completion won't be until either Jesus Christ returns, which I totally believe that he will do at some point. But I'm not one of these people who are going to forecast that Jesus Christ is going to return on such and such a date. There's people out there that do that stuff. I believe that God is saying that there is enough for you to get on with today, that you don't have to overly concern yourself about what happens in the future. Absolutely, we have to understand the spiritual realms that we're dealing with. And there is a spiritual world out there. And if you go into Africa, you will know that there is a spiritual world. There's a reality. And I have had the privilege of going to Africa many times. But in some of those places, there is a spiritual reality. They understand about the spirit world. And so therefore, there are spiritual battles that we need to have. But you see, Jesus had those spiritual battles. But what did he do? He came with the word of God and lived the sword of the word of God. And he came and cut that off, whatever the false word is. But we need to know one, understand what that false word is. Why? Because first and foremost, we're people who are going to live the gospel message. No hypocrisy in my life. No hypocrisy in the church. And that may be a big thing I'm saying, that no hypocrisy in the church. But that's what I believe God is saying. Wake up, church. And in every move of God, there's churches that won't wake up. There are certain churches that don't actually want to move with God. They're comfortable. But I believe that there's a world out there that want and longing to see the true power of God, the power of Jesus Christ at work in my life and your lives, where people come into a living, powerful relationship with a living, powerful God, wanting to bring transformation into our lives, my life, your life, and the world that we're living in. But there is an unfinished work. And I believe God is asking the church, and please, I want you to pray with me about these things, because I believe this is about the church in this country, that we need to wake up because there's unfinished business. And God is wanting us as kids of the kingdom of God to understand that we have a responsibility to bring God's kingdom here on earth, living, powerful, active, showing his power of love and compassion, his mercy, his kindness, his gentleness, his self-control, all of these things, living powerfully within each and every one of us. Not being hypocritical, saying these things from the front of a church, but not trying then living them. Let's please stand. You know that where you are individually today. And one of the things that I believe that we always need to do, that when we've heard something and it may be one point, there may be just something that just you responded to, some that's right, I need to do something about that. It's always important for me is that you respond to Jesus immediately. And so if that's you, if there's been a point, Lord, I'm a bit hypocritical in that area of my life, or I'm not sure, but Lord, I just want to open myself up to your Holy Spirit to show me if there's any way that my words and my actions don't line up with your kingdom purposes. Just put those things right. Just say those things in your own language, in your own words. You don't have to shout it out, but just verbally. Just say, God, I don't want to live this double standard in any area of my life. Father, I don't want to be like those Pharisees, those teachers that you spoke about in that book of Matthew. But you really had a go at them for living that double standard. And you called them hypocrites. Father, I don't want any hypocrisy in my life. And Lord, I just ask you that if there's any traditions that I have brought into December 2017 that do not carry your heart and your love for people. Father, I ask you that you will take those things away from my life so that I can live truly as a believer of Jesus Christ, being an example in words but also actions. There's a word that Christians use a lot, and it's called backsliding. And the scripture I read in Revelation that you've forsaken your first love. And then in the final one of these seven churches, it says that you're lukewarm. And that's why you need to read all of those seven letters to those churches, because it's actually quite important in this day that we're understanding the times that we're living in. But if any of us here have known a time where our relationship with God has been closer than today, then we need to say, God, I'm so sorry that I've been listening to the wrong voices, and I repent. I don't want to live a life that is just about me, about self. Lord, you've got a great purpose. You want to see your kingdom established here in London, in this city, and wherever we are coming from. But Lord, I realize that I've got to start to listen to the right voices. And I acknowledge that I've been listening to some lies. I've been listening to some wrong voices, telling me to get involved in some wrong things. And I'm sorry, Father, and I turn around today because I want to come back. I want my relationship restored to that rightful place. And finally, that scripture in Revelation, where it says to the church to wake up because your deeds are unfinished. Lord, I ask you on behalf of the church in this nation and the nations that we will have our eyes opened to the reality of your kingdom and your kingdom purposes. Lord, I acknowledge that as a church in this nation, we have not fulfilled that great commission. We've not been that light on the hill that is being bright, shining with truth of who you are. Lord, and I just ask you that as a church, as part of the church in this nation, that for me personally, that I come back to that place where I understand that there is some unfinished work in our nation. And Lord, that you are wanting to establish your kingdom here again. Father, with your kingdom people, with those kingdom mindsets, with that kingdom authority and kingdom power at work in each and every one of our lives. And just as you asked the disciples, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, holy is your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Father, Lord, that work is still to be unfinished. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you that our part is to live in the good of that kingdom purpose. And Father, on behalf of the church in this nation, Lord, I'm waking up to the reality of seeing your kingdom at work. Lord, I realize that you are a king and you have a kingdom with kingdom authority. And Lord, I thank you that we can operate in that authority. Lord, I ask you that you will teach us, Lord, how to use your power and your authority for your kingdom purposes. Lord, let it be done according to your will and purpose. And Lord, I ask you that for each and every one of us, that we will be operating with the word of the Lord in our hands as a sword. And Father, I just release over every single person here a word that they can hold on to this week, so that they can live by that word, operate from that word, and see your word have impact on the lives around us. Father, Lord, I want to be an example for your kingdom purposes. And Father, I ask you that you'll work those things in my own heart and life, and in the heart of each and every one of us here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's just take a seat. We've just got a couple of notices.